Blog Talk Radio.
It's another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.
And all my rowdy friends are coming over. My rowdy friends, make that one rowdy friend. I'm Rick Goreski, and this is the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. The 2015 rookie draft recap continues. Our rookie draft has come and gone, and I'm here with a great friend of the show, the owner of the Marauding Minotaurs, Brian Koch, to recap round two. Brian, welcome to the show. It is always a pleasure to have you on the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. It's been a pleasure every time we meet, and looking forward to another exciting show.
It will be, because you, my friend, had two picks in this round. So why don't I recap? Anxious to hear you talk about what went into your thought process. I had a couple picks in this round, too, I'm going to share. To recap, our goal here is to walk through round two of the 2015 Mad Dog Dynasty League Rookie Draft. We're going to talk about what picks we liked, what picks we didn't like, how the players fit into each team's roster, winners, losers, just any general feelings that we have about how round two went down. So why don't I start off by I'm going to start off by recapping who went where. Pardon me. Second round. First pick in the second round, running back T.J. Yeldon, Jacksonville, went to Crazy 7. Second pick of the second round, Denzel Perryman, linebacker San Diego, went to Malicious Minds. Still there, buddy?
I lost you. Hello?
I'm here, Brian. Can you hear us? Okay, hang tight. Let me finish this recap. The third pick in the second round, defensive back Landon Collins, New York Giants, went to Crazy 7. Fourth pick in the second round, Tevin Coleman, running back Atlanta, to Show Me Your TDs. Fifth pick in the second round, wide receiver Philip Dorsett, Indianapolis, to Dream Team. Sixth pick of the second round, Amir Abdullah, running back Detroit, to Show Me Your TDs. Seventh pick of the second round, defensive line Leonard Williams, defensive tackle Leonard Williams, New York Jets, to Ipswich United. The eighth pick of the second round, running back Cameron Artis Payne, Carolina, to Stone Form Pallies. The ninth pick of the second round, Doriel Green Beckham, wide receiver Tennessee, went to downhill from here. Tenth pick of the second round was wide receiver Brashad Perriman, Baltimore, that went to You're in Trouble. 11th pick of the second round, wide receiver Devin Funchess, Carolina, went to the Marauding Minotaurs. And the last pick of the second round, the 12th pick, running back Duke Johnson, Cleveland, went to the Marauding Minotaurs, who is with me today. So, Brian, what I want to do now is, since I recapped kind of who took what, let's go back, and I just want to share with the audience what I found as far as comments about these players from the all the guys that cover these players, the pundits, as I'll call them, and feel free to throw in comments. So, T.J. Yeldon, running back, went to Crazy 7. Jags coach Gus Bradley called Yeldon a three-down back. ESPN described him as being able to run inside but also having the elusiveness and cutting ability to make people miss. Do you want to just chime in if you got anything, Brian, and I'll just keep rolling?
You know, talking on in league inside information here, there was an owner, Show Me Your TDs, and he was kind of contemplating that pick in the first round with one of his first round picks. I'm trying to see here. He had, did he have one or two picks in the first round? I think he had one pick in the first round, and he contemplated it at the number six pick, but he really wanted a quarterback. So he went after Jameis Winston. So Yeldon could have been snagged off the board a little bit earlier, but because of the needs, it went down to 2-1 for that pick.
Truth be told, when I had the fifth pick before I traded it to move up to 1-1, Yeldon is the guy that I had penciled in as the guy I would likely take, you know, barring something else falling unexpectedly. I was looking at Yeldon at fifth overall, so I was ecstatic to get him as the owner of Crazy Seven. Second pick was linebacker Denzel Perryman to Malicious Minds. He was described as a tackling machine. San Diego GM called him a hammer. He's definitely the future leader of the defense in San Diego. Donald Butler's contract is up at the end of the year, so I think that's a really good pick. Three down linebacker. One of my top linebackers that I had rated after the top two guys. I liked Denzel Perryman the best.
Yeah, you know, San Diego's always had a knack for finding great linebackers. Larry English didn't pan out with that mold, you know, with San Diego. He's now in Tampa Bay. But to go ahead and just go a little bit more forward with him, I can see phenomenal numbers out of that guy in years to come.
Third pick, defensive back Landon Collins. New York Giants went to Crazy Seven. Crazy having two second-round picks as a result of trades. Collins was described as an instant starter, an in-the-box safety who was called a linebacker playing safety. Hard-hitting tackler. They say he's likely going to play in the box. He's not going to be a guy who's, you know, out free-roaming a la Nick Collins, picking off passes and et cetera. He's going to be more of a Rodney Harrison, somebody in the box making tackles.
Yeah, to go ahead and talk about him real quick, he was a top-rated defensive back in corners and safeties, far and above anybody else. I can't even think of looking down the draft line here. I don't see many more defensive backs or cornerbacks being drafted. So just looking at that pick, very nice to go ahead and do. I'm seeing a cornerback at 5.6 draft pick. So, you know, that's a huge, you know, pick right there. And congratulations to you, Rick, on getting him.
I felt pretty fortunate. A lot of guys were loading up on linebackers. With the rule changes on DBs, DBs are just as valuable if you get guys that can tackle and make some pass defenses. So, moving over to the fourth pick in the second round, running back Tevin Coleman of Atlanta goes to Show Me Your TDs. Coleman called a big back with big playability that can also catch the ball. I know Scott was pretty happy to get him and a pick we're going to talk about in just a couple picks from here.
Yeah, you know, to go ahead and go a little bit forward, Scott felt a little disappointed that he didn't get Yeldon at that pick, but, you know, he went ahead and went for two running backs that round. Between him and the Detroit running back, Abdullah. And he, you know, kind of texted me a couple days ago and he said, you know, one of these two guys should pan out. So that's sometimes the way I look at it. That's why I go up sometimes with my draft picks in certain positions. Just to go ahead and say, you know, if one guy flares out, at least I got another guy that should come through and be a stud.
Now, the fifth pick in the second round was wide receiver Philip Dorsett, Indianapolis, going to Dream Team. This guy has blazing speed. That's how he was described. A lot of pundits questioned why Indianapolis, who had needs in other areas, would take another wide receiver. And Indy's GM, you know, they basically said, hey, it was the best player available. That's the best player on our board, and that's why we took him. This guy ran a 4.29 40. Anytime you're getting into the 4.2 range, you know, even 4.29, that's fast. That is blazing speed. So that guy is on a very good offense. Any thoughts about Dorsett?
Yeah, you know, I actually had him on my radar at 2.11, and I really felt that he was going to fall to me. Unfortunately, it didn't, and I felt, you know, Andrew Luck has another piece of the puzzle there that's going to help Indianapolis become a top-notch offense altogether. So kudos to Dream Team for scooping him up at 2.5.
Yeah, I heard a couple other people say that they wish he'd have fallen a few more spots. They were looking forward to him. 2.6, the sixth pick in the second round, Amir Abdullah, running back Amir Abdullah, Detroit, to Show Me Your TDs, who had two second-round picks. Abdullah was one of the top running backs in this draft, called a smart player who can run and catch as well as return kicks. The future may be bright for Abdullah in Detroit.
Yeah, now with Reggie Bush out of there, you know, that running back backfield, I mean, where you thought you'd get a little bit more clarity, and it just got a little bit more clouded up. But, you know, my money's always on the young guy, just because of the fact that the way running backs get chewed up in this league, sometimes you just got to go ahead and, you know, go with the young guy and hope for the best and hope that they can put together a 7, 8, 9 year career.
Seventh pick in the second round, defensive tackle Leonard Williams, New York Jets, went to Ipswich United. Andy Wellman already having, I believe it was Muhammad Wilkerson, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm double-checking that as we talk, jumped in and took what was called the top defensive player in the draft. So you can't fault him there. He does have Muhammad Wilkerson as the defensive lineman that Andy has from the Jets. Williams called the best defensive player in the 2015 draft a Pro Bowl caliber talent. That's what the scouts and pundits say about Williams.
Well, my 2 cents on that here, Rick, is going to go ahead and really kind of just let you know that, you know, if you're taking a defensive end in the second round, you better make sure you get the best one out there. And, you know, sometimes those defensive ends can go ahead and be a little tricky to pick, but, you know, as far as all the draft boards and all the point on all the signs and everything, saying he was a top guy, why not throw a flinger on him and run with it? I think that was one of Andy's better picks out of the draft to, you know, kind of be a little bit honest with you. That and, you know, based off Nelson, Aguilar, Philadelphia wide receiver, which I was impressed with. But I think he had a hiccup somewhere where I wasn't overly impressed with something. I just can't remember where it was. So go on with the next guy.
Oh, sure. 2-8 is Cameron Artis Payne, the running back from Carolina that went to Stone Farm Pallies. And I get a chuckle out of this pick because Steve Wellman, the owner of Stone Form, he and I have talked for years about Stewart from Carolina. And I have been very vocal about, I don't know how that guy collects his paycheck with a clear conscience, because he's missed almost as many games as he's played. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but, I mean, this guy is just constantly injured. So I think that is a really sneaky, smart pick to take the guy who is potentially next up, because it's not a matter of when, it's not a matter of if Stewart's going to get hurt, it's when. When will Artis Payne be in the lineup toting the ball for the Carolina Panthers? Because, you know, unless Stewart somehow out of nowhere is suddenly going to turn into Iron Man and play every week, I just think that's a sneaky, smart pick. He's called a tough in-between-the-tackles runner. Carolina GM and coach both say he's a three-down back. Any comments on Cameron? Artis Payne.
No, I think that was a real smart pick. You know, obviously, with the miles that Jonathan Stewart and who's the other guy down there? Oh, darn it.
D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, with as many miles as those guys have on their tires, it's just a matter of time, you know, like you said, when are they going to break down and when is the rookie going to go and be able to get his time in. I think by season's end, that's going to be a pretty clear picture going into 2016 season.
Well, Stewart does have a shot if he stays healthy. He's always had the talent. D'Angelo Williams is now with Pittsburgh, so, you know, Stewart is going to have that backfield to himself for the first time ever. But, again, can he stay healthy? Because so far, you know, maybe get 8 consecutive games out of him before he falters. It's just, you know, let's go on to the next one. 9th pick, wide receiver Doriel Green Beckham of Tennessee went to downhill from here. Green Beckham was talked about as one of the most interesting, talented wide receivers in this draft. Incredible size-speed combination. Off-field issues caused his draft stock to fall in the real NFL draft. He's one of those guys where you wonder if his head is on straight. If his head were on straight, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, to break this down for you here, I'm looking at this. You know, it was a sad situation when Jake Locker decided to hang up the cleats for the Tennessee Titans. So now who do they have at quarterback? They got a rookie that they're going to throw in there, Marcus Mariota. So, you know, a little bit of chemistry is going to have to be developed between those two, a little bit of trust, you know, for things to really kind of start clicking for him. But I can see that this could be a potential uphill for Tennessee and for those two players within the next couple of years here.
I worry about, and one of the reasons why I personally, as an owner, chose not to take Green Beckham, even though that talent is kind of salivating type talent. The reason I didn't do it is because who else does Tennessee have? I always worry about young guys with any kind of character issues that, or maturity issues, shall I say, that go to a young team that doesn't have strong leadership. Because you take a guy like that into the Packers locker room, and you've got veteran wide receivers, guys that have experienced success, they know how to be a professional, that are going to put their arm around them and help that player along. Who's that guy in Tennessee? Is it Kendall Wright's the best they got? And he's only, what, second, third-year guy. Certainly isn't Justin Hunter.
Yeah, that's a really good point there, Rick. You know, I mean, you look at up and down that whole locker room, offense, defense, even the special teams players, and, you know, you really can't put your finger on a veteran player that's really going to have that good leadership skills to help carry that team to the next level.
I don't dislike the pick. I just think that there's a lot of talk of whether or not the current coaching staff is going to be there next year, that this might be their last year. You've got a lot of youth and unsettled situations. Where's that veteran leadership that's going to keep this kid in check and get him to play hard every single week? Concerned about that. So over on to the 10th pick, wide receiver Rashad Perriman of Baltimore, complete opposite of Green Beckham. This guy, his dad was an NFL player. He comes in, he's polished up, he's got a little work to do on the dropsies, but Perriman went a year in trouble. He's called a big play wide receiver, ran a 4.25 40. Man, that's like Marvin Harrison fast. He can go over the middle and produce yards after the catch. That's what the pundits said. Any thoughts on Perriman?
You know, just going ahead and taking that topic a little bit further where you went, the direction you're going with Brent Perriman. You know, if he has any characteristics of his dad, he's going to go pretty far in the NFL. You know, he's going to have a 10, 11, 12-year career. So as far as, you know, if you're looking at longevity in a player, you kind of hang your hat on for, you know, several years. You know, I think you're going to get that out of Perriman. But, you know, obviously every person's their own worst enemy sometimes. So hopefully he goes ahead and can put together a long career and be productive during that career. That's all I can really say on that front.
Sure. Perriman, the thing with him is that he's got that opportunity, and Green Beckham has that opportunity as well. There is, you know, there are no receivers where these guys are going. These guys can become the number one wide receiver on their team. And Perriman, again, just has to refine his game and step up. The next two picks, Brian, belong to you. And I'm going to actually tell you what the pundits said about him, and then one of my first questions in just a moment is going to be for you to explain what you liked about him and why you took him. So don't chime in yet on these two players. Let me just tell everybody what the pundits said. The 11th pick in the second round, again, did go to Brian's Marauding Minotaurs. Devin Funchess, wide receiver, Carolina, described as a big receiver that creates mismatches. I know at one point he was even considered possibly a tight end. They weren't sure what his classification was going to be. He is classified as a wide receiver. The 12th pick in the second round is running back Duke Johnson of Cleveland. That also went to the Marauding Minotaurs. Johnson described as a three-down running back who is the all-time leading rusher in Miami, and that includes running backs along the lines of Edgerrin James, Clinton Portis, Frank Gore, Willis McGahee. They've had some good running backs come out of the U, and this guy is top of them all. So we're going to get your comments on those two players in just a moment, Brian. I want to break down round two specifically with respect to, you know, the position players and offense versus defense. You had five running back, four wide receiver, one defensive lineman, one linebacker, and one DB. So it broke heavy offense, nine players on offense compared to three players on defense, five running backs, four wide receiver, and then one defensive line, one linebacker, one DB. With all that said, Brian, let's get over to you and your picks. Could you walk us through why you made the picks you did? What did you think about your guys, Funchess and Duke Johnson?
Well, Funchess was on my radar I wouldn't say from the get-go, but knowing where I was drafting in the draft, just knowing where he might fall to me, he was on my radar. You know, I needed a little extra offensive punch in the next couple of years to come down the pipeline, so I felt that was a really good, you know, pick it. But, you know, the go ahead and really break it down for that second pick. That's where I really struggled. You know, I thought so deeply about Vic Beasley. You know, I even contemplated taking Flower there, Dante Flower. There was a few other, Randy Gregory, the guy from Denver, what's his name, Shane Ray. So, I mean, I had some really huge decisions I had to make. And, you know, basically with what I did is I went with the players. You know, I just really had to break down my team and say, where am I at on offense, defense? And with a little bit of guidance from a very good friend of mine, he went ahead and pointed a few things out to me. And he gave me a little bit of inside information about what you just talked about with Duke Johnson, with the players that he superseded at college level. So I felt that was pretty much a safe pick there. And, you know, he did go to the Browns, which, you know, obviously we all know the Browns are, you know, a junk team. But a really surprising statistic came up about maybe a month ago. And the NFL released how many Pro Bowl players did each team have over the last 10 years. And surprisingly enough, the Browns are one of the top teams with Pro Bowl players on their team over the last 10 years. They had 13 that they had drafted. Obviously no longer with the team, but, you know, that's a huge number when you have 13 players that were Pro Bowl players that you drafted. So obviously they know what they're doing. It's just a matter of being able to put the other pieces together to be able to become a more competitive team. You know, so that there really kind of sold me onto the Browns as to why I moved forward with them.
You know, it's funny. I have been as critical about the Browns organization as I have about any organization in probably all of sports. I think they are a laughing stock. I don't want to get too much more into it other than to say that the reason why they can't succeed with that kind of talent is leadership. They constantly change their GM, their coach. They're constantly, you know what I mean? You need a coach that comes in and brings people together and gets everybody on the same page, and you need an organization from the top down that is going about things the right way. And you don't have that in Cleveland. You still don't have that in Cleveland. Geez, was it just last year that, you know, they're texting down to the sideline telling the coaches who to play? That's just ludicrous. And I'm not slighting the Duke Johnson pick, because I actually think the Duke Johnson pick is very good. And the reason why is that I was listening to a different podcast the other day, and they made a great point that Cleveland is amongst that handful of teams that their recipe to winning games is going to be to keep the game low scoring, run the ball. They don't have a great quarterback. They don't have great wide receivers. So even though there are three running backs down there, I do think Duke Johnson has a better than 50% shot of rising up and being the cream of the crop there. I just think they have a good offensive line. They're going to run the ball, and that speaks well for Duke Johnson. As far as the rest of the team and their prospects for success, I don't know. You know, that there is a lot there. But their defense is pretty good. Their offensive line is good. Not a bad spot for a running back.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. One of the things that kind of frightened me was that they did pick Trent Richardson a few years ago. Richardson was expected to be this phenomenal football player that was going to go ahead and take the NFL by storm. Obviously, he's on his third team in 5 years, so you know, it's just, I think that's more character, you know, issues there than it is anything else. You know, I'm excited to see what happens here over the next few months here. And even the next couple of years, to see how these players develop and see whose team they're on in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, Funches, by the way, I want to mention that reports that I'm hearing is that Benjamin, who had a breakout rookie season, he's just a guy that unexpectedly excelled last year for the Carolina Panthers, showed up to camp a little overweight. And one of the questions, knocks on Benjamin coming out of college was, how much did he really care? How much did he really care about football and his craft? And him showing up this offseason, after having a surprisingly good rookie season, makes people wonder, you know, is this kid serious about this? Is he serious about honing his trade the way that a Charles Woodson just works at his craft and works at his craft? Funchess could be kind of a sneaky pick here, because if Funchess comes in and is able to establish himself, he has that same big body, big frame as Benjamin, and we know Cam Newton is going to throw it up for these guys. You know, it would not surprise me if Funchess at one point overtakes Benjamin. That's if Benjamin doesn't kick it in gear and get his act together. Stepping back to my own two picks, Yeldon was a no-brainer for me. I said I considered the guy at fifth overall. I think he's going to be the bell cow running back for the Jaguars, and I think the Jaguars are going to be very improved. I think this particular year is the year that they step up and become, at the very least, average. They've been below average for years, and I think this year they take a step. And Landon Collins... when I kind of looked at my draft in general and what I was going to do, I did, as a team, I was hoping that I could get at least one defensive player, a potential starter type guy. And when I got to that pick, I had loaded up on offense. There were some good players there in Coleman and Abdullah, but the opportunity to take the top safety and a guy who is going to rack up tackles in the same role that Artrell Rolle played for the past years for the Giants defense, that was too much to resist. I was real happy about that. Brian, we have about 3.5 minutes left, so why don't I ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
Taking
away players selected by your own team, what were your favorite players selected in round one? So what guys do you think we're going to look back 3 to 5 years from now and guys are going to wish they had taken that guy?
Well, you're talking round one.
Round two. I apologize.
Oh.
Round
okay.
two. That's the biggest show.
You know, Scott hit it on the head with, you know, show me your TD where he hit, where he took two running backs. You know, sometimes it's, boy, a second-round pick, do you really want to waste that on two players like that? But you got to look at it as which one pans out for you. Hopefully, you know, they both pan out, but obviously sometimes there's some misfire and one guy doesn't work all for you, but then you always have a nice handcuff or a nice backup plan. So show me your TDs. I think did very well with his two picks. I would rate him as the number one guy drafting in that round. And then you go ahead and go to the next level. Dream team taking Philip Dorsett. I felt that was an awesome pick. I couldn't, you know, I was hoping that he was going to fall to me, but he didn't. And going back to the last one is going to wind up being a surprise where T.J. Yeldon fell to number 2-1 in the second round. You know, that was just phenomenal. I couldn't go ahead and be happier for Rick there.
Thanks, man. For me, I think the two players that stood out in the second round, specifically, I think the pick of Perriman falling all the way to 210, I think guys might rue passing on Perriman. And I think Duke Johnson is another guy that was overlooked because of the Cleveland situation. I don't think guys realize that that could be a special talent going to a team that needs to run the ball with a good offensive line. Those are the two players that I think 5 years from now guys might be saying, damn, you know, I wish I'd have picked that guy. As far as who do you think did really well in this second round, I think show me your TDs picking up those two running backs. One of those guys has got to work out. I mean, Coleman could be the starter in Atlanta. Abdullah could be the starter in Detroit. Bell's history with injuries is not exactly a guy that stays injury-free, so he takes a lot of collisions, too. Any thoughts on who did the best?
I think that's kind of like where I was going with my last comments before, as far as who I felt did the best. I think Show Me Your TDs was one of the premier guys that drafted in the second round there, taking two running backs, and then I really liked T.J. Yeldon there. Excellent. I would probably rate you as the second best guy who drafted at that position. Just because of the fact that, you know, when you're picking a little bit deeper, you know, sometimes those picks get a little bit thinned out. So, you know, yours was more of a gift. Let's just call it that. And the Dorsett pick, I just, once again, I think that one people are going to go ahead and regret with Andrew Luck being at the helm there. But I think that's going a little bit further than that. Is that that he was a great pickup there. You know, just a guy who's going to have a phenomenal career if he can keep his track record clean and just kind of stay on track.
Well, Brian, we got to wrap it up here. It's the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining me today and for everybody else for listening. Keep an eye out for the other rookie draft recaps. We already did round 3, 4, 5. Round 1 is coming to an electronic device near you. Until next time, I'm Rick Goreski signing off from another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Take care, everybody.